Absolutely despicable indeed. I like the really slow, scary voice. Hour number two, 3 o'clock hour. Everybody's calmed down, I think. We argued, and we're still doing it because people still want to talk. Jim Leland getting his number 10 retired on the wall, at the brick wall at Comerica tomorrow. David Hull says does not deserve it. It cheapens the wall. Everybody on that wall has won a World Series, he said. That's the Detroit Tigers standard. I said, David, you're wrong about this, because what Leland does is represent a time in Detroit baseball that brought everybody together, brought the electricity to the city. We wouldn't care about baseball if it wasn't for Jim Leland and the players and the executives and everything that happened from 06 to 13. So does Jim Leland deserve the honor of 248-539-9797? Now, I want to give kudos to David, but I also want to point out how he's playing unfair. Then we'll go back to the calls. Because I think it was Paul and Shelby called up. And he brought up the names on the wall, like George Kell. George Kell had a number. George Kell in Detroit never won a World Series, but he wore 21. He wore 15. But it just says Kell on the wall. So Kell, great third baseman, great radio and TV man, never won a World Series, which goes against David's standard, right? But yet he's on the wall, but Jim Leland can't be on the wall.
Wait.
Is the number
on the wall?
That's so stupid. No, the number is not on the wall, but his name is on the wall. He never won a World Series.
So why can't
Leland be there?
So maybe just put Leland on the wall.
There you go. Great compromise.
Oh, you're good with
no
that?
No number, Leland.
Just Leland.
The man's name is on the wall.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So put Leland on the wall, and it holds true.
So you just want to allow other people to wear number 10?
Yes. But if you're going to change the standard to World Series and or Hall of Famer, then just tell me. But I haven't been told that.
They never told you about a standard to begin with. You're just
Everyone on there has a World Series.
Except for George Kell.
No number.
Who doesn't? So silly. And by the way, you are weakening. You are weakening in hour number two. I knew you could not keep up this fight. All right, let's bust out some calls. Rico, by the way, is the best seat in the house. He's just enjoying it. He doesn't have to take one side or the other. He just likes us ripping on each other.
Take this to 610.
No, we're not going to do that. I'm already exhausted. Bill on a cell, you're on the ticket. What's going on, Billy?
Not much, but let me just start with your concern about Horton being on the wall. Horton won a World Series, but for him making a perfect throw to the plate in Game 5 in the 68 World Series stop, I think it was Gibson coming in, they wouldn't have won that World Series, okay? Lou Brock, I'm sorry. Second, okay, Mayo Smith, who managed that team from a 3-1 deficit, is not on that wall, has a World Series. Mickey Lolich, who pitched three complete games and hit a home run in the 68 World
Series.
Is that
a Hall of Famer?
Is not up there. That's not the standard you're using. The standard I thought we were using was whether or not they had a World Series.
That's David's standard. George Kell is up there, never won a World Series.
Yeah, but Kell was also a broadcaster. That's an apple and oranges argument.
Well, there's other guys up there that don't have a number but have never won a World Series. I don't believe Manush ever won a World Series.
And again, I mean, with all due respect to you, a lot of those are just strawman arguments. Let's go to Leland, and I agree with the caller that said, first off, I respect Jim Leland. I really enjoyed him when he was a manager here. I think he is one of the great managers and that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But in Detroit, okay, he had two chances at a World Series and won only one game, including with that pitching staff that he had in 2012. And the caller that said before, if his name is on the wall, that's the first thing I'm going to remember when I see it. And it's one thing that I've said for years before this issue came up of them wanting to put his name on the wall was that, you know, I understand what he did when he was here and you know, he turned the Tigers around and all that stuff. But it was like, you got to remember, okay, two chances in 6 or 7 years, and he could only win one game with the talent that he had. I just don't think that warrants him being up on that wall.
Thank you, Bill. A lot of people agree with you. Never thought this would be so polarizing.
No. But maybe the compromise is just Leland. Put Leland up on the wall.
I fail to understand why it's such a big deal that the 10 would go up with it.
No. How is that just not the perfect compromise?
But why? Explain it to me. Why is it more important or less important?
It looks like the Tiger standard is, if you didn't win a World Series, but you contributed a lot to the team, we put your name up there. If you did both, you get your name and number. That's how it looks. Okay, Rieger, that's the Tigers.
The reason a Cal's number isn't up there is simply because he wore like five different numbers. So you want to put Leland up there, but you want to cheapen it. Is what you want to do. Like, David believes Leland's existence on the wall cheapens the wall. You just want to cheapen him by saying, yeah, Jimmy, we'll give you name.
No.
Hell, you know what? You're lucky if we spell it correctly.
No, it's not cheapening. It's not cheapening at all. You still celebrate him. You still honor him. Every time you go out there, you see his name. You say, wow, you know what? I remember the times. But his number should still be used.
It is amazing the fight you get into in sports radio, isn't it? Let's go to Pat. Rico just shaking his head. Pat on a cell, you're on the ticket. What's going on, Pat?
Just having this conversation with Gov.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Pat.
Good to hear your voices. You know, what's been lost, if I haven't heard it already, is Leland's contribution to the 84 team. You know, from the minor leagues to mentoring Kirk Gibson from the day he flew in as a draft pick.
It's a great point, Pat. Fabulous point.
Peace being lost that I didn't want to go by, and wish you guys luck. Enjoy the show.
Pat, it's almost like a Lifetime Achievement Award, too, because the dude, and again, he was on the morning show. Go check out the interview on the Odyssey Rewind. He's been in the organization since the 60s. No, he left to take the Pirates job and the Marlins job, and Colorado was
left
kind of
to go win a World Series elsewhere.
No, because he wasn't ready to be a skipper here. And then he got his chance, and I don't think he disappointed. You want more of these, Rico?
Let's go.
Okay, great. Matt on a cell. I'm exhausted at 3:09. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
I am just wanting to call. I'm kind of probably beating a dead horse a little bit. But I'm 33 years old, born in 1990. So obviously, as you know, I probably did not care at all about baseball. I couldn't name a single player from any of the teams when I was growing up. I have no memories of Tiger Stadium whatsoever. And I agree with you. Like, Leland did a ton for the city, brought a ton of money back to the city, you guys are aware, he has countless achievements to the city. But I agree with everybody else that he still shouldn't be up on that wall.
Rieger?
All I think about when I see that name is going to be the magic from Maglio. When I was a kid.
I got you. So should Maglio get his number retired?
I feel like Maglio deserves it more than Leland does.
Maglio had like four really good seasons in Detroit, kind of failed off a little bit. Listen, Matt, I get what everybody's saying. I do. But again, if you got to pick one guy, and if you look at the Tigers organization as a whole, and I said this already, but I'll say it again, they are 123 years old. They've been to the playoffs 16 times. Leland is responsible for a quarter of those appearances. It's a big deal what he did.
How much is Leland paying?
I mean, I think that says a lot more about other managers than it does about Leland. I mean, that shows more about our history than it does anything. In 123 years, we're not.
So let me get this straight. Just trash the rest of the organization. Don't give the one guy that did great things any credit, right?
Oh, I'm not saying don't give him any credit. He is my skipper. I would walk up to that man, I would give him a hug, and I would shake his hand. Like,
no,
I think
what Matt is saying is the bar is kind of low.
Thank you, Matt.
So
248-539-9797.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, tell me the thing.
If you guys want to keep talking about this, hold the line. We will take your phone calls. But we do want to talk some Detroit Lions. We will get into this next because to me, what's going on at Lions training camp? It's kind of funny. Some people are upset, but I don't think you should be. I'll explain it next. 97.1.
It's amazing. Whoever from this station next time one of you guys is out works the afternoon show, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them, counsel them.
What?
Don't say anything.
What?
I mean, you guys got me saying I was a racist the other day. even though I'm not.
Yeah.
There it is. 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. The Leland stuff is still out there. Tomorrow he gets his number 10 retired, never to be worn again on the wall at Comerica Park. But Rico, Lions training camp is going on. They had a scrimmage today.
Yeah.
People are dunking on Jake Bates. The kicker they wanted from the Panthers is now missing field goals.
Yeah, because they got enamored. He hit some 60-yard field goals here in Ford Field. And
in their 70.
UFL games. And you were like, okay, we have our own Justin Tucker. We got that guy who could be the difference maker. And now he can't. Like, he's very inconsistent. And if you really looked at his UFL days, he was inconsistent there as well. He was just hitting long field goals. But now, as much as people love you, man, they're starting. Lions fans are starting to get into panic mode. I just thought it was funny because it's not like you have a coach who likes to kick field goals anyway. So
right.
Why are you so upset? Why are you panicking? Why are you freaking out?
Don't get any kicker. They're panicking because you want to trust your kicker if you get in a situation like the NFC title game next year.
But the real thing about the Detroit Lions is this.
Yeah.
You know, the first preseason game was last night, and it was kind of weird watching that kickoff. And
I dug it.
It's going to take some getting used to because it's almost like it seems like the computer is freezing. Like you're playing a video game and all your guys just froze. Like, okay, why aren't they moving? Okay, there they go. Now they're moving. The guy said it feels like a running play to them. So NFL preseason football is happening. Lions training camp is going on. The season is not that far away. But I do have a question for Lions fans. This upcoming season, are you comfortable? Do you feel good about this team? Now, I know you expect Super Bowl, but deep down, when you're in your room, when you're in your man cave, when you're driving in the car, does this upcoming season make you feel a little bit uncomfortable because things are going so well here in Detroit and you kind of feel like, man, I'm not used to this. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know really what to do next. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I don't know. This is all new territory for you. Does it give you the feeling of being uncomfortable? You're beloved. The nation loves you. You're all over. People love your coach. Your GM is a genius. Your draft picks are hitting. Heck, you got people ranked real high in the NFL top 100 for like, you know, the first time ever, you got like multiple people up
You're
there.
Deep as hell.
Right. Like everything is going so well for you. Does it make you feel a little uncomfortable?
It's a great question. And I know people immediately are going to jump and say, yeah, dummy. Of course I'm confident. I mean, hell, you say
I didn't say confident. I just say, are you uncomfortable? Just knowing.
Right. But I think people are comfortable. I do because just from the prediction game, right? I had him winning 10 games. Some people had him winning 11 games. And people get angry. Like, how dare you not predict us to win at least 12 or 13? But I'm just going to give you my own personal mindset. And tell me if maybe I'm the lunatic here. But I think the Lions are great. And I think they have a legitimate chance to go to the Super Bowl and win the whole damn thing. I think they're deep. I think the only thing we're really arguing about is like a kicker or a third receiver. The only real negative story I've heard out of camp is that Matthew Betts, the Canadian D lineman, not playing all that great. Duh. Okay, big deal. He's a free agent.
Think about it. New territory that we're talking about a Canadian defensive lineman and your kicker.
Right.
Like, we're not talking about your quarterback situation, your running back. We're not talking about anything of major things. It's like, you're one of the haves now.
Even Levi Onwuzurike, a guy we all wrote off, apparently is playing great football early on. But here's what I feel like. And again, feel free to call me like a lunatic. Because of the history, I admit this, because I grew up here and I've watched this team kick me in the you-know-what year after year after year, I feel like I'm Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. And I finally got rid of Freddy. He's no longer in kids' dreams anymore. No longer. Freddy Krueger's dead, man. And I'm walking one last time to home because I want to take a nap. Because I can finally go to sleep without Freddy showing up. And at the very end of the movie, you see those damn claws. Mm-hmm. And Freddy's back, kids. Freddy's back. That's kind of what I feel like. Like, I know in my brain, they're a good football team. And they should do wonderful things this year as long as they stay healthy. But the history in me, I think for a while.
Of not winning 10 or more win seasons back-to-back?
Never. They've never had double-digit win seasons in back-to-back years, ever in the history of the organization. But yes, I admit it. I have this unsettling feeling like all the good things are going to come crashing down, like they always have. And I know I shouldn't think this way, but I wonder how many Lions fans actually think this way.
248-539-9797. Are you feeling a little uncomfortable? Not saying you're not confident in your team, but this is that moment where when you're by yourself. You're not with your fellas, you're not with your kids, but just by yourself, and you just have that idle thought driving in the car. You see this upcoming season, and you almost feel like, okay, things are going so well. I'm not used to this. And is it like Jeff said, are you feeling like you're being set up for something that you just don't see it yet? There's a rake that you're about to step on that you just don't see the rake, but it's there.
One, two, Freddy's after you. Three, four, better shut the door. Do you remember this?
I do.
Five, six, get a crucifix. Yeah, that's what I feel like. I'm
unless
not lying.
You're Jew-ish, then it doesn't matter.
Jew-ish. But 248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number. Does all the good talk about the Lions freak you out just the slightest bit? Because me, I admit it. I want to talk to the average Lions fan that has been here their whole lives, that has watched this team their whole lives, that has gone down with the ship their entire life, and now you look at 2 years ago and this last year, and you're hoping.
Yeah.
And you're thinking this is going to be a great team.
It doesn't make you less of a fan. I'm just asking, are you uncomfortable? Are you just a little concerned with all the pats on the back and how much people are saying that you're a different team, that you're just like, you know what? I kind of like the fact when everybody wrote us off. I kind of like the fact when we were under the radar. I don't like the fact of being that team. It's not to say that you're not a fan. It's not to say that you don't believe in your team. I'm just asking, are you uncomfortable with this situation because you haven't been there before? And can you just be honest? Or you know what? You're going to say, Rico, you're crazy, and I'm embracing this. It's all good. We're moving forward. 17-0. Let's go. 248-539-9797.
You know what it's like? It's like you don't want it to end. You just got used to things being amazing. And you don't want it to end, but I think your point of when you're alone, not by your boys, when you're just thinking about football, do thoughts of yesteryear creep into your mind? Do negative thoughts like, oh my goodness. But the other thing too is if you do feel like I feel, if you feel like some Lions fans might feel, like the other shoe's going to drop, like Freddy Krueger's after you, like he's not really dead. What is the biggest worry about this team? Because I'll give it to the Lions. It's hard to pick out something real tangible that you're really freaked out about because they've done such a good job building this thing.
Yeah. That right now we're worried about the kicker and the kicking situation. And then honestly, if I'm a Lions fan, I really wouldn't panic about the kicker. You'll find one, but you don't use them. Because think about it. Third and 15, you may run the ball, try to get to about fourth and five, and you're going for it. You're not kicking a 37-yard field goal. So what does it matter if he can make it or not?
Like the latest story I saw on social media was one of those predictions grading out offensive lines. And they had four different categories. And the first category was elite. The second category was the little muscle emoji. And it was like really, really good offensive line. There was one O-line in all of football that was elite. It was the Detroit Lions. The reason I bring it up is because there's been stories like that all offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Jameson Williams is now not just good. He's borderline great. Ben Johnson there's nothing he can't do.
J-Mo may be borderline psychopath.
Oh, you see the stuff he eats?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, J-Mo may be borderline psychopath. You know, it's good to have the digestive system and metabolism of a young man like that. Because,
okay, is he eating candy?
No, much worse.
Like the an egg sickle.
What?
Dude, it's literally
it looks like a fried egg
in frozen?
Frozen in a popsicle.
Yeah, it's a clear popsicle. And so the popsicle is just ice. So I would assume it has no flavor to it. And then when you get to the middle of the popsicle, it's a raw egg.
See, you're right, Rico. It's great to be young. It is great to be young.
And then it's like some other thing with, like, I think some meal with Flaming Hot Cheetos crushed on top of it.
Macaroni and Flaming Hot Cheetos. That looks good, actually. And then last year, he put the Blizzard on the hamburger. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Yeah, now, people have been doing that kind of weird stuff. That's like the French fry and the frost.
Right. Yes. Yeah,
I've seen that before. But that egg sickle, you may be a psychopath. You may be a killer. A real killer.
248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. Here's the question. Are you really that comfortable? I mean, it's such a great question because I think Lions fans are going to fill the lines, and they already are. They're going to say, oh my God, shut up, idiots. We are comfortable. But in those moments when you're by yourself, just you and maybe you're on the potty or something, are you thinking it can't happen again?
Are things going too good?
Right. This makes me just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
97 won the ticket. 97 won the ticket. Talking a little Lions football. The Jim Leland stuff is out there as well on a Friday. David, do we have any ticket text? Then we'll get to some calls. Are you a little uncomfortable with how great things are going at Lions training camp?
Not worried at all. Totally different team, since the common denominator for a crappy team for the 6 years was William Clay Ford. Tom in Detroit says, not everyone is comfortable with where the Lions are. Rico, you and David are skeptical about how well they will do. Rieger has them finishing at 10-7 and losing a division to the Packers. Do you have them losing to the Packers?
I do.
All right. Makes sense. I am 62 years old, Lion fan, and I prefer to be the underdog. Signed, Carl from Milan.
I think there's something to that.
I think some people like being the underdog because there is no pressure on the underdog. You're not supposed to win. Here's the thing, Detroit. You're supposed to win. You're supposed to win your division. You're supposed to be in the NFC Championship game again, which means that any slip-up, anything that does not happen and get you at least back to the championship game, I hate to say it, makes your season a failure.
Yeah. No, I remember.
Now you can sit there, well, we won 13 games. Did you get knocked down the first round of playoffs? Yes, failure.
I remember doing the show. I filled in for Cookies. I was with Jansen, and I said I got him at 10-7. And Jansen got pissed at me because, like, I got him at 14 wins, and Tom had him at 14 wins. But I asked John, I'm like, is it real? Is the target on your back thing real, or is that just media talk? He's like, oh, no, definitely real. When you become the hunter instead of the hunted, when teams in the offseason, game plan
Rieger,
for your team.
Rieger, I call it, you're now a circle game, which means when the teams look at the schedule, they circle Detroit. We got to get prepared for Detroit. We got to come up with new plays, new game plans, new offensive plays and defensive plays. We got to try to figure out how to beat this team. There is no, we're going to rest some starters. We're going to rest some guys. We're going to get people healthy. Case in point, you don't believe me? Let's just say that Jahmyr Gibbs was injured, and you're playing the Carolina Panthers. Guess what, folks? He's probably not going to play in that game. Why? You don't need him. You're going to get everybody's best punch for 17 weeks, at least, and in the playoffs. But all throughout the season, all those teams that you're thinking, oh, we can beat this team, you're going to get their very best punch. You probably will beat them, but it's going to be a battle week in and week out. You're now going to find out what it's like to be the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to find out what it's like to be those top elite teams because you're there now.
Like, I'll be honest with you. I think if there's one guy that will make sure this team doesn't rest on their laurels, read their press clippings, it's Dan Campbell. I am so sold on that guy. Maybe not so much with the game management, but with just the culture that he's built. Like, I was watching Good Morning Football, and they were all saying the same thing, like Kyle Brandt, and who's the other guy on that? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Peter Schrager,
yeah. And they had Gronk on today, pretty funny. But anyway, they both agreed. They're like, the one thing that could derail the Lions is reading their own press clippings, which is something I don't think they're going to do.
But see, here's the thing, though. Coaches coach, players play. You could sit there. It's like rigor as a parent. You could tell your daughter what to do and what not to do, but until she actually learns the lesson her own self, it's like, I told you not to do that.
Oh, my daughter learns. Oh, the motto in the Rieger family, you're allowed one mistake, can't make the same mistake twice. What, you don't believe
I could say something there.
I could too, David. And you know what? It's personal growth on your part and mine. We're going to move on. Going to go to the phone lines.
I don't know what you could possibly say.
JP, you're on 97.1.
Great dad and parents.
Hey, guys. JP here from London again.
Hey, man.
London, Ontario, not London, England. Just want to make sure I clarify that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were in London, England. Okay.
Yeah, that would have been more exciting for me, JP.
Sorry, I grew up with family ancestry is Scottish, so I wouldn't be London, JP, England to begin with.
JP, real quick, you got us on speakerphone? If you do, can you take us off?
Sure. All right, done.
Oh, so much better.
Wow, that sounds great.
Sorry. Actually, I had it on Bluetooth. Maybe that was the issue. So, about the Lions. I grew up a Montreal Canadiens fan. I grew up a Toronto Blue Jays fan. I grew up a Montreal Expos fan. And then when I moved to Windsor, I continued to grow up being a Red Wings fan, a Tigers fan, and a Lions fan.
Great choice.
From the Niners. Well, I switched from the Niners, which were my parents' team, to the Lions because I just didn't want to be the Niners anymore because I didn't like my dad. So that's a whole lot of stuff. So Niners are still okay.
Get into some stuff.
Oh, yeah. So the thing is about these Lions, I've watched teams succeed. I've watched teams fail. The one thing about this team is they're doing the same thing that the Red Wings did in the early 2000s. They're doing what the Blue Jays did back in the early 90s. They did what the Montreal Canadiens did back in the 80s and 90s. They're drafting well. They're developing well. They've brought in good coaching staff. They're keeping their guys. They're taking care of the guys they need to, and they're not just throwing money at the wall. Now, the Red Wings did throw a bunch of money at the wall to win some of those Stanley Cups, so I lose that argument there. But this team is being built the right way. They're taking the time to put all the pieces together. They're building it from the inside up. And I've seen teams that have won Stanley Cups, seen teams that have won World Series and stuff like that. And this is how they've done it. And so I want to be the team that everyone hunts because it means that you're at the top of the mountain. You're not halfway up the mountain. You're not looking to get up the mountain. You're there. And that's where I want this team to be.
JP, that's a great point. No, that is a fantastic point.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to think about it from my negative slant, I guess, which is like, oh, man, what's going to go wrong? Oh, man, Freddie's behind me. Oh, man, somebody's going to get me. But JP is so dead on. If people are chasing you, that means you're close. And we've never been close.
Oh, that's what I said. You're the hunted. You're the circle gang. People are going to give you their best shot. Why? You're standing in their way. You're not the Carolina Panthers where they can take a day off and still beat you.
Let's go to Charles Southfield. You're on the ticket. What's going on, Charles? How are you, bud?
Hey, that was a great call. Hats off to you, JP. I've been watching the Lions since 61. Guys like Joe Don Looney and Bill Plum. Moved away for 10 years. Came back 15, 20 years ago. Told my buddies a couple years ago before the start of the 22 season that the Lions would contend in 23 and go to the Super Bowl in 24. So my butt is on the line. Having said all that, I am definitely, now that my butt is on the line, you have to be nervous. You're confident, like JP said, you got the right pieces. But things can go wrong. It's not going to be automatic. Just because you won 12 last year and just because you got to the championship game doesn't mean you automatically take that next step and go to the Super Bowl.
It's not a rite of passage.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're capable. I think they have a great shot to do it, but you have to be a prudent.
I think we lose Charles.
Charles, you're breaking up.
You were breaking up, Charles. Go ahead.
I'm just curious, what's the big sticking point, though? Because we went from one caller that said, I love where we're at. We're the hunted, we're close, Super Bowl potentially. Then Charles is like more like me, I feel, which is like, damn, I've been through this before. I feel the negative. I feel the past.
Well, he said he's been there for, since 61? Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time. But I wonder what's the one thing that freaks him out? Or is it just being a Lions fan his entire life?
I think for a guy like that who's been following the team so long, you know the history that you don't follow up a good year with another good year.
Do you ever think you'll lose this feeling? Like, let's say the Lions go off and roll out 3 Super Bowls. They go to 3 Super Bowls. Yeah. They win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever think you lose this feeling? Like, somebody's chasing you?
Yeah, you do. Because, you know,
it'd be nice.
You know,
I don't like
you know what you become? You become Boston Red Sox fan. For years, it was the curse of the Babe and all of this. And then they start winning World Series. You think they care about that anymore? No.
Can I ask you a quick question? Do you believe, honest answer, do you believe Red Sox fans a little bit? miss the bitching and the whining about never being able to win? I mean, that was who they were. That was their culture. No. That was their identity.
But you know who does? White Sox. I mean, Cubs fans. Because that was their identity. The lovable losers. And they won a World Series.
248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. 97 won the ticket.
But what we're going to do here is this Madden style. So all 32 quarterbacks' Madden ratings came out today. So where do you think Jared Goff ranked?
Madden rankings. Boy, I've been bad at this all day. So, Rieger, I'm going to let you go first.
Madden rankings. Like, obviously, Lamar and Mahomes. 97 won the ticket. Talking a little Lions football. The Jim Leland stuff is out there as well on a Friday. David, do we have any ticket text? Then we'll get to some calls. Are you a little uncomfortable with how great things are going at Lions training camp?
Not worried at all. Totally different team, since the common denominator for a crappy team for the 6 years was William Clay Ford. Tom in Detroit says, not everyone is comfortable with where the Lions are. Rico, you and David are skeptical about how well they will do. Rieger has them finishing at 10-7 and losing a division to the Packers. Do you have them losing to the Packers?
I do.
All right. Makes sense. I am 62 years old, Lion fan, and I prefer to be the underdog, signed Carl from Milan.
I think there's something to that.
I think some people like being the underdog because there is no pressure on the underdog. You're not supposed to win. Here's the thing, Detroit, you're supposed to win. You're supposed to win your division. You're supposed to be in the NFC Championship game again, which means that any slip-up, anything that does not happen and get you at least back to the championship game, I hate to say it, makes your season a failure.
Yeah. No, I remember.
Now you can say, well, we won 13 games. Did you get knocked down the first round of playoffs? Yes, failure.
I remember doing the show. I filled in for Cookies. I was with Jansen, and I said I got him at 10-7. And Jansen got pissed at me. Because I got him at 14 wins, and Tom had him at 14 wins. But I asked John, I'm like, is it real? Is the target on your back thing real, or is that just media talk? He's like, oh, no, definitely real. When you become the hunter instead of the hunted, when teams in the offseason game plan for your team.
Rieger, I call it, you're now a circle game, which means when the teams look at the schedule, they circle Detroit. We got to get prepared for Detroit. We got to come up with new plays, new game plans, new offensive plays and defensive plays. We got to try to figure out how to beat this team. There is no, we're going to rest some starters. We're going to rest some guys. We're going to get people healthy. Case in point, you don't believe me? Let's just say that Jahmyr Gibbs was injured and you're playing the Carolina Panthers. Guess what, folks? He's probably not going to play in that game. Why? You don't need him. You're going to get everybody's best punch for 17 weeks, at least, and in the playoffs. But all throughout the season, all those teams that you're thinking, oh, we can beat this team, you're going to get their very best punch. You probably will beat them, but it's going to be a battle week in and week out. You're now going to find out what it's like to be the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to find out what it's like to be those top elite teams because you're there now.
Like, I'll be honest with you. I think if there's one guy that will make sure this team doesn't rest on their laurels, read their press clippings, it's Dan Campbell. I am so sold on that guy. Maybe not so much with the game management, but with just the culture that he's built. Like, I was watching Good Morning Football, and they were all saying the same thing, like Kyle Brandt, and who's the other guy on that? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Peter Schrager,
yeah. And they had Gronk on today, pretty funny. But anyway, they both agreed. They're like, the one thing that could derail the Lions is reading their own press clippings, which is something I don't think they're going to do.
But see, here's the thing, though. Coaches coach, players play. You could sit there. It's like rigor as a parent. You could tell your daughter what to do and what not to do, but until she actually learns the lesson her own self, it's like, I told you not to do that.
Oh, my daughter learns. Oh, the motto in the Rieger family, you're allowed one mistake, can't make the same mistake twice. What, you don't believe
I could say something there.
I could too, David. And you know what? It's personal growth on your part and mine. We're going to move on. Going to go to the phone lines.
I don't know what you could possibly say.
JP, you're on 97.1.
Great dad and parent.
Hey, guys. Hey. What's up, JP? Here from London again.
Hey, man.
London, Ontario, not London, England. Just want to make sure I clarify that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were in London, England. Okay.
Yeah, that would have been more exciting for me, JP.
Sorry. I grew up with family ancestry is Scottish, so I wouldn't be London, JP, England to begin with.
JP, real quick, you got us on speakerphone? If you do, can you take us off?
Sure.
All right, done.
Oh, so much better.
Wow, that sounds great.
Sorry. Actually, I had it on Bluetooth. Maybe that was the issue. So about the Lions. I grew up a Montreal Canadiens fan. I grew up a Toronto Blue Jays fan. I grew up a Montreal Expos fan. And then when I moved to Windsor, I continued to grow up being a Red Wings fan, a Tigers fan, and a Lions fan.
Great choice.
From the Niners. Well, I switched from the Niners, which were my parents' team, to the Lions because I just didn't want to be the Niners anymore because I didn't like my dad. So that's a whole other stuff. So Niners are still okay.
Get into some stuff.
Oh, yeah. So the thing is about these Lions, I've watched teams succeed. I've watched teams fail. The one thing about this team is they're doing the same thing that the Red Wings did in the early 2000s. They're doing what the Blue Jays did back in the early 90s. They did what the Montreal Canadiens did back in the 80s and 90s. They're drafting well. They're developing well. They've brought in good coaching staff. They're keeping their guys. They're taking care of the guys they need to, and they're not just throwing money at the wall. Now, the Red Wings did throw a bunch of money at the wall to win some of those Stanley Cups, so I lose that argument there. But this team is being built the right way. They're taking the time to put all the pieces together. They're building it from the inside up. And I've seen teams that have won Stanley Cups, seen teams that have won World Series and stuff like that. And this is how they've done it. And so I want to be the team that everyone hunts because it means that you're at the top of the mountain. You're not halfway up the mountain. You're not looking to get up the mountain. You're there. And that's where I want this team to be.
JJP, that's a great point. No, that is a fantastic point.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to think about it from my negative slant, I guess, which is like, oh, man, what's going to go wrong? Oh, man, Freddie's behind me. Oh, man, somebody's going to get me. But JP is so dead on. If people are chasing you, that means you're close. And we've never been close.
Oh, that's what I said. You're the hunted. You're the circle gang. People are going to give you their best shot. Why? You're standing in their way. You're not the Carolina Panthers where they can take a day off and still beat you.
Let's go to Charles Southfield. You're on the ticket. What's going on, Charles? How are you, bud?
Hey, that was a great call. Hats off to you, JP. I've been watching the Lions since 61. Guys like Joe Don Looney and Milt Plum. Moved away for 10 years. Came back 15, 20 years ago. Told my buddies a couple years ago before the start of the 22 season that the Lions would contend in 23 and go to the Super Bowl in 24. So my butt is on the line. Having said all that, I am definitely, now that my butt is on the line, you have to be nervous. You're confident, like JP said, you got the right pieces. But things can go wrong. It's not going to be automatic. Just because you won 12 last year and just because you got to the championship game doesn't mean you automatically take that next step and go to the Super Bowl.
It's not a rite of passage.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're capable. I think they great shot to do it, but you have to be a prudent.
I think we lose Charles.
Charles, you're breaking up.
You were breaking up, Charles. Go ahead.
I'm just curious, what's the big sticking point, though? Because we went from one caller that said, I love where we're at. We're the hunted, we're close, Super Bowl potentially. Then Charles is like more like me, I feel, which is like, damn, I've been through this before. I feel the negative. I feel the past.
Well, he said he's been there for, since 61?
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time. But I wonder what's the one thing that freaks him out? Or is it just being a Lions fan his entire life?
I think for a guy like that who's been following the team so long, you know the history that you don't follow up a good year with another good year.
Do you ever think you'll lose this feeling? Like, let's say the Lions go off and roll out 3 Super Bowls. They go to 3 Super Bowls. Yeah. They win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever think you lose this feeling? Like, somebody's chasing you?
Yeah, you do. Because, you know,
it'd be nice.
You know,
I don't like
you know what you become? You become Boston Red Sox fan. For years, it was the curse of the Babe and all of this. And then they start winning World Series. You think they care about that anymore? No.
Can I ask you a quick question? Do you believe, honest answer, do you believe Red Sox fans a little bit miss the bitching and the whining about never being able to win? I mean, that was who they were. That was their culture. No. That was their identity.
But you know who does? Cubs fans. Because that was their identity. The lovable losers. And they won a World Series.
248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number, 97 won the ticket.
But what we're going to do here is this Madden style. So all 32 quarterbacks' Madden ratings came out today. So where do you think Jared Goff ranked?
Madden rankings. Boy, I've been bad at this all day. So, Rieger, I'm going to let you go first.
Madden rankings. Like, obviously, Lamar and Mahomes are 1 and 2, and they're probably like 99 both, right? Is there anybody ever 100? Probably not, right?
No, I don't
no,
think
never 100.
Is the highest.
Yeah, 99 would be the highest.
Like, Christian McCaffrey running backs right. is 99.
All right, I will go Jared Goff is...
We got to guess the number?
His yeah. ranking Not his number? Ranking.
But where he
is, where he ranks within the 32.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm gonna go 9. 9 for Goff.
I'm going to go 14 for Goff.
So the worst quarterback ranking, I'm gonna make you wait. The first quarterback ranking, Will Bryce Levis.
Oh.
Will Levis is ranked 72nd in Madden. He is the worst ranked starting quarterback on the game.
What's his ranking? Do you have that?
72 overall.
Oh, it's 72 overall.
Yep,
that's not that
72
bad.
Overall.
It's like a C minus. I would take that in high school.
What's interesting here is they have this guy listed. He is not a starter, though.
Justin Fields.
Joe Flacco.
Oh.
Oh.
At 31. He's 72 overall.
And he's like 58.
Mm-hmm.
Age-wise.
All right. I won't let you wait anymore. Here's Jared Goff. Number 13.
Okay.
Close.
He is number 13 on the list. 14.
All right, can we guess the number that he's ranked?
His ranking?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to go, he's got to be not very mobile.
I'm going to go 83.
Yeah, I was thinking, you stole my number, actually.
You should have went first.
I'm going to go 86.
You went the wrong way. Oh, it's 82.
Oh, damn it. I was thinking about that.
Should have went Price is Right.
Oh, nicely done. Nicely done.
He is ranked, his rating is 82 in Madden. So let's go, let's just deal with who's around him.
All right.
It's kind of interesting here.
So who is better and worse than Jared Goff?
So I'm going to go the two under him and the two above him. So 15, Jordan Love.
Wow.
Rating is 81 in Madden. 81 as well. Who's 14th? C.J. Stroud.
Wow. So, okay. So they're not going to reward them like we are.
Right. One hit wonders,
extrapolate him. They're saying, yeah.
Yes.
You had a good year. Do it again.
Correct.
If I gave you those three quarterbacks, Stroud, Love, and Goff, and you could choose which one you wanted, who would most people choose?
Who would most people choose outside
not
the city
just
of
Lions
Detroit?
Fans. Yes, Lions fans are choosing Goff.
Well, Jared Goff versus, you know, the world.
You got to choose Stroud,
Montana,
right?
Right. No, I would probably take Love.
Love, okay.
Here's why. Because Love has been around longer. He's been groomed, and I think he's ready. C.J. Stroud hit the ground running, but now what happens when teams catch up to him?
That's just the impressive thing to me, though.
So, no, that's what I'm saying. So, if I had to gamble, I would take Love because he's been slow played and slowly brought along, and now it's his time.
So, the two just in front of Jared Goff at 12, Matthew Stafford.
They're just trolling.
Rated 83.
Wait, who came up with these, Kelly?
This is
the EA people. EA, it's in the game. Well, hold on a second, because it's interesting. Because do you remember when the NFL executive list came out? I think it was last week. Goff was the second best NFC quarterback. Stafford was the best NFC quarterback. And like 6th or 7th overall. So this is now two publications, if you will, that are going Stafford over Goff.
And the NFL top 100. I think Stafford was ranked better.
I think he is better.
Goff.
Yeah.
So it begs the question. I can give you Stafford or Goff. Who are you taking? As a Lions fan.
Oh, as a Lions fan, you're going to take Goff because he got you something that Stafford could never do.
Stafford had his chance.
And I mean, if I had to pick between the two, I would take Goff only because I think Goff has more years than Stafford.
I would go Stafford. Number 11, Aaron Rodgers. Also
really?
Rated 83.
I'm fine with it.
You did not reward C.J. Stroud, you did not reward Jordan Love, but you rewarded Aaron Rodgers for playing three plays. Three. Not three series. Three plays last year.
No, they're rewarding his career. He's a four-time MVP winner.
He takes more trips to smoke mushrooms than he does to play NFL games.
But these ratings, Jeff, are based on last year. They adjust.
He should be down there with Levis.
I agree.
Okay, if they're based up, but I don't know if I believe that because, like,
he played three plays.
Right, that means he should be below Stroud in Love, but since he's not, I think they're giving him the lifetime achievement for MVPs one Super Bowl.
Which, once again, it's inconsistent. Because if you're going to base it strictly off of last year, he should be in the bottom 20s. He's like in the bottom third of quarterbacks because he didn't do anything.
By the way, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, very quickly, every time I hear the name Aaron Rodgers, I think of you saying Anavasia. That little cleanse that he took and how you guys made that song.
That's what he's known for now, not winning games.
The grease in his
He's known not for showing up for camp, for taking oil-based enemas, and for smoking mushrooms
Egypt. He went to Egypt. Right. He got fined.
Right. You know what you don't hear?
See the pyramids.
You know what you don't hear? He's on the field leading his team to wins.
He is now.
That is very true. So
I
let's
think
go,
they're going to be good.
Let's go through the top 10. Number 10, Kirk Cousins. 84 rating.
Ahead of Goff. And Stafford?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Number 9.
And Rodgers.
Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Okay.
85 rating. That makes sense.
That's a little too low to me, but go ahead.
Number 8.
Of course it is.
Jalen Hurts, rated 86.
Oh, see, I think he should have taken a step back.
But I bet you the brotherly shove is probably like a 99 play. Like, you can't stop it.
You can't stop that, I'm sure, yeah.
But hold on a second. If it's a recency bias list, he wasn't all that good last year, especially down the stretch. They were awful.
Purdy should be higher.
I agree with you.
Number 7, Justin Herbert, rating 87.
Okay. Now, does he have the plantar fasciitis in the game, too?
You've lost me on this list. This is somebody just threw some darts on the board and just came up with quarterbacks.
It's a rating.
It's video games.
But what are you basing this off of? What did Herbert do?
It's their skill set they put in a game.
It's probably some 13-year-old kid.
Because he has a really powerful arm.
But it's not based off of last year. Put Mahomes first, and then let's just figure out the rest.
By the way, a ticket texter says it's not based on last year. It's a projection of their performance this coming year.
Okay.
So that would explain the Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Number 6, Tua. 88 rating. Number 5.
No. Yes, because take away Tua from playoffs. That makes sense. Go ahead.
Number 5.
Yeah, Paul, what you got to say about this? This is your guy.
I'm okay with that rating.
Okay.
I think he's very happy with that rating.
He had a great year last year.
Look at that big smile.
Number 5 would be Dak Prescott, 90 rating.
Above 2. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Number 4, Josh Allen, rated 92.
Okay, see, I'm fine.
No,
with that.
Because if you're projecting, who's he throwing the ball to? Tyler Coleman?
He's still going to be good.
Number 3, Joe Burrow, 93 rating.
Okay.
Number 2, Lamar Jackson, 98 rating. Number 1, Patrick Mahomes, right. 99.
I disagree. That guy sucks.
And Purdy should have been higher than 9 if you're projecting it.
That's a fun list. I like that.
No, Aaron Rodgers way too high.
And that is Football Today, a 97-1 The Ticket.
But what we're going to do here is this Madden style. So all 32 quarterbacks' Madden ratings came out today. So where do you think Jared Goff ranked?
Madden rankings. Boy, I've been bad at this all day, so Rieger, I'm going to let you go first.
Madden rankings. Like, obviously, Lamar and Mahomes are 1 and 2, and they're probably like 99 both, right? Is there anybody ever 100? Probably not, right?
No, never
100.
Is the highest.
Yeah, 99 would be the highest.
Like, Christian McCaffrey running backs is 99.
All right, I will go Jared Goff is...
We got to guess the number?
His ranking.
But where he
is, where he ranks within the 32.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm gonna go 9. 9 for Goff.
I'm going to go 14 for Goff.
So the worst quarterback ranking, I'm gonna make you wait. The first quarterback ranking, Will Price Levis.
Oh.
Will Levis is ranked 72nd in Madden. He is the worst ranked starting quarterback on the game.
What's his ranking? Do you have that?
72 overall.
Oh, it's 72 overall.
Yep,
that's not that
72
bad.
Overall.
It's like a C-. I would take that in high school.
What's interesting here is they have this guy listed. He is not a starter, though.
Justin Fields.
Joe Flacco.
Oh.
Oh.
At 31. He's 72 overall.
And he's like 58.
Mm-hmm.
Age-wise.
All right, I won't let you wait anymore. Here's Jared Goff. Number 13.
Okay.
Close.
He is number 13 on the list. 14.
All right, can we guess the number that he's ranked?
His ranking?
Yes.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to go. He's got to be not very mobile.
I'm going to go 83.
Yeah, I was thinking, you stole my number, actually.
You should have went first.
I'm going to go 86.
You went the wrong way. It's 82.
Oh, damn it. I was thinking about that.
Should have went Price is Right.
Oh, nicely done. Nicely done.
He is ranked, his rating is 82 in Madden. So let's go. Let's just deal with who's around him.
All right.
It's kind of interesting here.
So who is better and worse than Jared Goff?
So I'm going to go the two under him and the two above him. So 15, Jordan Love.
Wow.
Rating is 81 in Madden. 81 as well. Who's 14th? C.J. Stroud.
Wow. So, okay. So they're not going to reward them like we are.
Right. One hit wonders, extrapolate him.
They're saying, yeah.
Yes.
You had a good year. Do it again.
Correct. If I gave you those three quarterbacks, Stroud, Love, and Goff, and you could choose which one you wanted, who would most people choose?
Who would most people choose outside
not
the city
Lions
of Detroit?
Fans. Yes, Lions fans are choosing Goff.
Well, Jared Goff versus, you know, the world.
You got to choose Stroud, right?
Right. No, I would probably take Love.
Love, okay.
Here's why. Because Love has been around longer. He's been groomed, and I think he's ready. C.J. Stroud hit the ground running. But now what happens when teams catch up to him?
That's just the impressive thing to me, though.
So, no, that's what I'm saying. So, if I had to gamble, I would take Love because he's been slow played and slowly brought along, and now it's his time.
So, the two just in front of Jared Goff at 12, Matthew Stafford.
They're just trolling.
Rated 83.
Wait, who came up with these, Kelly?
The EA people. EA, it's in the game. Well, hold on a second, because it's interesting. Because do you remember when the NFL executive list came out? I think it was last week. Goff was the second best NFC quarterback. Stafford was the best NFC quarterback. And like 6th or 7th overall. So this is now two publications, if you will, that are going Stafford over Goff.
And the NFL top 100. I think Stafford was ranked better.
I think he is better.
Goff.
Yeah.
So it begs the question. I can give you Stafford or Goff. Who are you taking? As a Lions fan.
Oh, as a Lions fan, you're going to take Goff because he got you something that Stafford could never
Stafford
do.
Stafford had his chance.
And I mean, if I had to pick between the two, I would take Goff only because I think Goff has more years than Stafford.
I would go Stafford. Number 11, Aaron Rodgers. Also
really?
Rated 83.
No,
I'm fine with it.
You did not reward C.J. Stroud, you did not reward Jordan Love, but you rewarded Aaron Rodgers for playing three plays. Three. Not three series. Three plays last year.
No, they're rewarding his career. He's a four-time MVP winner.
He takes more trips to smoke mushrooms than he does to play NFL games.
But these ratings, Jeff, are based on last year. They adjust.
He should be down there with Levis.
I agree.
Okay, if they're based on, but I don't know if I believe that because, like,
he played three plays.
Right. That means he should be below Stroud and Love. But since he's not, I think they're giving him the lifetime achievement for MVPs Super Bowl.
Which, once again, it's inconsistent. Because if you're going to base it strictly off of last year, he should be in the bottom 20s. He's like in the bottom third of quarterbacks because he didn't do anything.
By the way, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, very quickly, every time I hear the name Aaron Rodgers, I think of you saying Ana Vasia, that little cleanse that he took and how you guys made that song.
Yeah, that's what he's known for now, not winning games.
The grease in his
he's known
whatever
for
that
not
was.
He's known not for showing up for camp, for taking oil-based enemas, and for smoking mushrooms
Egypt. He went to Egypt. Right. He got fined.
Right. You know what you don't hear?
The pyramids.
You know what you don't hear? He's on the field leading his team to wins.
He is now.
That is very true. So
I
let's
think
go.
Be good.
Let's go through the top 10. Number 10, Kirk Cousins. 84 rating.
Ahead of Goff?
Ahead of Goff.
And Stafford?
Yes.
Oh my.
Number 9,
and Rodgers.
Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Okay.
85 rating. That makes sense.
That's a little too low to me, but go ahead.
Number 8.
Of course it is.
Jalen Hurts. rated 86.
Oh, see, I think he should have taken a step back.
But I bet you the brotherly shove is probably like a 99 play. Like, you can't stop it.
Oh, you can't stop that, I'm sure. Yeah.
But hold on a second. If it's a recency bias list, he wasn't all that good last year, especially down the stretch. They were awful. And
Purdy should be higher.
I agree with you.
Number 7, Justin Herbert, rating 87.
Okay. Now, does he have the plantar fasciitis in the game, too?
You've lost me on this list. This is – somebody just threw some darts on the board and just – came
it's
up with quarterback.
It's a rating.
It's video games.
But
doesn't
what
matter.
Are you basing this off of? What did
their
Herbert
skill
do?
Set. Video their games. Skill set. It's their skill set they put in a game. It's
you know what?
It's probably some 13-year-old kid.
Because he has an arm, a really powerful arm.
But it's not based off of last year. Put Mahomes first, and then let's just figure out the rest.
By the way, a ticket texter says it's not based on last year. It's a projection of their performance this coming year.
Okay.
So that would explain the Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Number 6, Tua. 88 rating. Number 5.
Yes, because take away Tua from playoffs. That makes sense. Go ahead.
Number 5.
Yeah, Paul, what you got to say about this? This is your guy.
I'm okay with that rating.
Okay.
I think he's very happy with that rating.
He had a great year last year.
Look at that big smile.
Number 5 would be Dak Prescott, 90 rating.
Above 2. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Number 4, Josh Allen, rated 92.
Okay, see, I'm fine
No,
with that.
Because if you're projecting, who's he throwing the ball to? Yeah, Keon Coleman?
He's still going to be good. Yes.
Number 3, Joe Burrow, 93 rating.
Okay.
Number 2, Lamar Jackson, 98 rating. Number 1. Patrick Mahomes, 99.
Yeah, I disagree. That guy sucks.
And Purdy should have been higher than 9 if you're projecting it.
That's a fun list. I like that.
No, Aaron Rodgers way too high.
And that is Football Today, a 97 on the ticket.